cliffcentral.com.
I had to play this song because I'm playing it for the third member of the High Council, who I know you guys are on with Ben.
Kobinski.
Yeah. I actually messaged Ben right now and I said, dude, you're missing out. But apparently he's got shit connection somewhere.
Yeah, he's in
he's
a place.
He's actually in Cape Town, to be honest.
I hope he makes an effort to see you. He probably won't, though. You know what Kobinski
is. No, like. He did actually message me, but I'm at my barn place for Christmas with the family, so yeah. And so, Gord, is that hash or weed?
No, it's just weed, man. I haven't been able to get hash, the likes of which we smoked in the dam. And also, smoking that much tobacco is just, it's not sustainable. It's really nice for a couple of days, but you start getting that, like, yellowness in your blood for the tobacco.
Oh, yeah. I probably had some yeast and hash down here, and I, like, whipped out what looked like weird Play-Doh with like dog hair in it, and I was like, no thanks.
Yeah. No proper like damn level hash I can organize, but only in Joburg. I don't know what to do in Cape Town, but I'll put in a word. We'll talk off air. I'm sure I can figure it out. You want like some rosin or something? We'll get you.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Gareth, just a question. Are you and I incriminating ourselves by being part of this conversation?
No, because it's legal now. They can do whatever they want.
I pretty much smoke it on air for the last 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Lord. You know, what is not on my vision for 2021 is to be called butterscotch by someone in prison. So that's all I'm just trying to avoid.
Butterscotch. I must say, Gord, like seeing you dance and stuff, dude, I really noticed it, man. You've lost like a lot of weight, dude. I'm just putting it out there, dude. That was wild. Like, it's
thanks, man.
Epic to see, dude. Seriously.
Yeah, I've been downgraded from a planet to a dwarf planet. So I'm one of those people that's at a size where I can lose like 20, 30 kilos as I've done now and still look like a fat bastard and be mostly wearing the same clothes. But I'm almost halfway and I'm starting to feel and look a little bit.
Are you still like on track?
Yeah, dude. I'm still tracking on like a champion. It's slowing down a little bit from like very fast to fast.
You need to take lots of pictures of your journey. And then when you reach like the amazing book, write a book. And
yeah,
I've got all of that
in the works. I just want to get it done first before I start celebrating and writing books about it.
Yeah.
Just quietly trucking along. I'm trying not to make a big deal of it. I mean, we've mentioned it a few times on the show, but I don't think I talked about it anymore.
Get Ben to do a Biogen journey.
Oh, jeez.
Biogen.
That'll be funny.
Biogen. You could call it the laws of weight loss.
Except the Biogen is weed.
God, can you imagine? Gord Laws is Biogen Journey, brought to you by Ben. All right, so listen.
Biogen Ambassador Gord Laws with the following advice. Right, you have to eat really well, drink lots of water, do a lot of hard work, be very strict about your diet and cut disciplined, and drink one of these every day, and you will lose a lot of weight.
Listen,
done. That's an ad right there.
Yeah.
Between us, we've got to figure out something that that is doable for New Year. So, I mean, Rob, do you have any plans at all? Is there anything going on? Have you heard any stories on the DL that you can tell us without incriminating anybody? Is there any parties
I'll
happening?
I'll keep names unchecked. But no, basically, so I know there's like basically that I've kind of heard wind of or been invited to, like two kind of mansion parties going on in Camps Bay where there's just going to be like wildness, literally.
But they can't stop that, right? I mean, you know, if you're having a private party, then there's nothing they can do.
No, exactly. But what I'm doing instead of that, because I just know how that night's going to go, and I kind of just want to be with mates. So I've got like a place in Greaton. It's like this little farm town, and I'm just having a couple mates up there. It's like a very sleepy town. You can blast the music to whatever hours, like no neighbors type vibe. And I'm having a couple mates up there. And yeah, that's kind of what I'm going to do for
you. And a couple of mates in a farmhouse in Greaton, locked away. That's going to be real civil. That's going to be, keep it tidy. Yeah, guys, let's get a bunch of friends together and go out in the wilderness where there's no one, but we've got electricity.
Yeah.
There's no one and no rules.
Yeah, no. So it's going to be an interesting one. I just thought, did that better than like, you know, some like bougie house party with like people you have no idea who they are and they're all trying to impress you with some bullshit. Like I've been there.
Yeah, I'm also, you know, this year's taught me a couple of things. And one of the things is like, there's some people that are just, it's not worth having around. They're just not as much fun as you thought they were. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, like, you have to have select people. If you're going to have a party, well, at least a party like I have one, and especially this is back in Amsterdam, it's people that, when people do drink or drugs, they can't change. I I've exed a lot of mates because when they get too over the top, they just become a different person. It's either they become too aggressive or they become too sloppy, like an unattractive, and this goes for girls and guys. Like,
some people just become nasty.
You just can't handle your shit, or they become like they break stuff, or they make stupid ideas. Like,
I hate that.
I can't handle those people. Like, get a bit edgy.
Don't get sloppy.
Edgy.
Yeah. Don't get sloppy. I'm so with you.
Also would become a different person, and not only just a different person, but like a mean, nasty, horrible person, and like not just uncontrollable, but nasty and uncontrollable. And that was like you got a totally different person that you're dating by day, and three drinks, and just like become a werewolf.
They just switch like this, and you can see it. You can like you're at the table, and you just hear this like loudness, and you look down there, and you're like, okay, that's gonna be the last time at the table. Like, you can get reckless and say crazy stuff, but like there's always that one person who likes to just see the line and just like hop over it and spend some time in the fucking unknown lands.
And when Rob calls you that, that's when you know you're a problem.
Exactly.
May we all for Christmas not be that person. That's, I think, that's a good wish for everybody. So, listen, I mean, this year has been pretty shitty for everybody, but I think we've got to find reasons to feel good about next year. Have you got any exciting things lined up? Is there stuff that you really want to do next year, or are you just hoping it's going to be doable because of what we're stuck with at the moment? I mean, you were saying you can't even get back to Amsterdam, so...
Yeah, I can't even go back to Amsterdam now, but, I mean, like, I kind of... I'm happy about it, but I'm also like, I'm like in no man's land at the moment. You know, I'm living back at my parents' house, which is like cool, but like living with the parents is like, has its limits for sure.
Of course, especially when you've been doing the stuff you've been doing for the last while.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of want to get back and get into my life. But really, like, since I've got back this year, next year, my plan is to like just basically just make more money and take my life a little bit more seriously than I have in the past couple of years, and just like, just do something, maybe it doesn't even make me money, but just do something like constructive where I can look back and say, wow, I did this crazy cool thing. Even if it's like a crazy bike trip or something like that.
Are you still super into bikes? Have you left your bike in Amsterdam? Have you got one here?
My bike's in a garage in Amsterdam. Like, Lord knows if it's going to start when I get back there, because it's been sitting in a cold garage for like, it'll be almost 3 months when I go back probably. But I've been like on mates' bikes, and I'm going to rent a bike soon and stuff like that. So I have been riding, but it's nothing like having your own bike, and it's super expensive here. But really the goal for 2021 is just to make like money, basically. That's all I want to do, because I want to be able to do more things.
I think also Cape Town is pretty subdued. I mean, from friends of mine I've spoken to down there, and I was maybe going to go to Cape Town or maybe go to Durban for a little holiday, but I've decided to just can all of those plans because it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot going on.
I mean, look, it depends where you go. Like, I've been to a couple night outs here. I mean, it's still buzzing. I mean, like, I actually drove past yesterday evening, and it was like one of those Perla Camps Bay evenings, and it was still like pumping to a degree. And like, if you're with good mates, you can still have a draw. But again, it's like everything closes at 10 here.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, if you're on holiday though, you can start drinking at like 3, and then by 10, you can
day drink
body bag. Yeah, day drink.
But you would anyway, right? You would day drink anyway, and then you'd chemically enhance your stamina, like taking PEDs.
I hate the idea that someone else is going to tell me when to stop. Not because I'm some reprobate who can't fucking stop. I like the idea of being able to have a party without, you know, having to like know that you've got to call it at like 10 o'clock. And sorry, 10 o'clock's very early. 10 o'clock's ridiculous.
We are being a bit doom and gloom about the cuckness of the party, Joel, though. Like, who's got ideas for cool, fun things that don't involve a group larger than, say, 6, maximum 10 to get around it? Like, who's doing fun shit anyway? And not defiantly, necessarily, creatively. Ruthie Rom has asked, what are shrooms like? Have never tried them. On my list for 2021. We'll defer this question to Robert.
Good luck, Ruth.
Okay, well, I would say if it's your first time, definitely do it with someone who's done it before, like who can probably guide you through whatever kind of trip you're going on, and definitely don't overdo it. I would start off like lightly, dude, for real, and definitely do it with someone who's done it before, like, and do it in a safe space, as in like, I would preferably say in nature, and be on holiday. Don't be like the next day you got work or something. Be like during this period and stuff, because
imagine
like
that.
I think the best time to trip on shrooms is when you have like nothing worrying in your mind, because you can go to dark places on shrooms easily. Or at least for me, that's because I got demons.
But how long does the high usually last for if you also need to prep for the next day?
Depends how much. Yeah, like depends how much you take. But it's not like if you have the next day, but if you have like a bad trip, it can leave you like, it can leave your mind pretty jagged for like the next couple of days afterwards. But also, if you have something that you do the next day when you're tripping, you could be like, oh, like look at
you'd
my
be worried
hand.
About
like,
the chart.
Then you, then all of a sudden your mind's like, oh fuck, but like I gotta like hand in that ninja report tomorrow, and then your mind, and then you're like, oh
yeah, but so. In my experience, these bad trips always are like, it's really overblown. But I'm not advising anyone to take drugs. But if you are considering taking shrooms, my suggestion would be rather take acid. How acid has got the reputation of being scarier, more dangerous, higher potential for a bad trip. I feel the nervousness going into an acid trip is 10% going into shrooms, because shrooms are organic. You can share it with your mate and have completely.
See, now I have exactly the opposite recommendation.
You can like I would be.
I've only had demons on acid.
Shrooms, but acid, I'm fine.
Sure, dude. Acid has taken me to the darkest places, bro.
We're going to ruin this for Ruthie, because it's actually a very good time. The chances of anything going wrong are very low. If you're in a place where you're comfortable and there's nothing you're frightened of, a nice comfortable house with friends or nature with friends and nothing stressful, there's mostly, almost certainly going to have a brilliant time. It's just
right,
take
so
the right
she, all right. She says, thanks very much. And what is a good first strain of mushrooms? Because this is now getting, we're getting into the reeds here.
Whatever your friends can get you, I don't know.
Yeah, dude, really. It's just like, whatever. Like, and make sure, again, my most vital, like, comment is make sure you do it with someone who's done it before and knows their shit. Don't be getting some rookies like, yo, I bought it from a guy that my friend knows under a bridge. Yeah, next thing you're going to be under a bridge.
Ah, God.
Oh, no. Exactly.
Oh, man.
This is a very basic question to ask, but what is acid? Is it like in a pill form? Is it in a powdery something?
It's usually on a piece of blotting paper, because it's like a liquid chemical, and so they drop it, they soak a piece of blotting paper in it, a little perforated squares, like a tiny postage stamp. But you can also get it in drop form, but that's when one drop and two drops is a very big difference. And do you really trust yourself with this thing?
Yeah, I need to go and pray with my daddy after this. I'm not part of this conversation, okay?
You should always be praying with your dad. He's a good man, Sia.
Yes.
Sia's very disrespectful about his father, you know, I feel.
Not right now. We all need a bit of deliverance. Good on you guys, if that's what you're for. Jeez, that sounds intense.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about the new year. Just I'm more excited about having a holiday, frankly. I think everybody's just over it. Like, let's move on, you know. It's enough already.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but it's like we were going to move on from it. There was like this vax, though like it was still, and then all of a sudden like, the S version came out, like the iPhone S, the Corona S came out. It's like 70% more compatible. And the media is like, let's get those clicks up, motherfuckers. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
We're like,
let's get everybody upset.
Variants,
again. Right.
Like, get back in your houses, worry the fuck out. It's like, oh, you thought you were out of the woods now. Fuck that. Mm-hmm. We're going to get the variant S.
What I really don't want, and I think this might be setting my expectations up a little too high, is, can we stop complaining about the situation now? Yes, it is very shitty, and it's still the same thing, and it's out of our control, and it's frustrating. But there's no way that, you know, just complaining about it will make it any better. We're in this now. We'll come back after the first, and we'll still have all of these restrictions. We'll still have to make do. Let's just get on with things now.
Yeah. That is true. That is a good way to look at it. It's just super hard when it just keeps fucking up everything you want to do, basically. But like, that's true. You have to have like that mindset. And eventually I think I'll get over it and just accept it. But right now I'm still like going to fight it or like talk about it because I hate it so much.
Let me think of, there's a new TV series. I think it's on HBO. Regardless, it's not on the Amazon or Netflix, so you'll have to download it. But they're making a TV series of The Stand by Stephen King, which was written in the 70s. And that's the one where almost everyone dies of a global virus. And so I've watched episode one. It's just come out. So
that
far,
sounds,
it's very
That sounds
good.
Like a very good idea for everyone to watch while we're in this situation.
Well, I mean, nothing in the world other than perhaps like a South African government plan has the chance to go pear as much as a Stephen King adaptation. But I've watched one episode so far and it's good. So if you want to really be freaked out about this virus death, watch the new season, the new series of The Stand. Very good.
No, thank you.
I think I'll skip that as well. There's enough shit in the world to not have to deal with that. Oh my God. All right. So Rob, listen, we're gonna let you go, dude, because I know you've got a day ahead of you. Enjoy Cape Town and we'll hopefully catch up at some point in the new year, but be good.
Yeah, we should have a call with like Ben and stuff when he gets his shit together back when he's in Joburg or whatever. You know?
We do.
Because like, I'm here for like the next, but in the new year probably.
No, we'll make it happen.
Okay, cool. Thanks, guys.
Love you, Rob.
Talk to you guys soon. Cheers, y'all. Bye.
There's hi Rob, everyone. Very, very nice. All right. Well, Gordo, we've got our last check-in with our friend from the gas company, Brett Cohen. You remember Brett?
I thought I heard a shirt coming.
Yeah, his loud shirts are on their way. But
does his shirt sound?
Well, it's just overcast and a bit rumbly outside, so I thought maybe it was the weather. But I was like, that's a bit shirty.
I woke up this morning and there was rain. I just love that. That's my favorite thing. Absolutely.
It's a goodie.
Oh, it's the best thing, man. I love when it's
much better than waking up and there's locusts.
Yes, locusts would be a problem. Or, you know, blood falling from the sky. That would be bad. Yeah. Considering it's
one of the better things that the Lord dispenses upon us, but varyingly depending on his/her mood.
You know, I don't know if you watched that conjunction on Monday night. Gordo, I know you're something of an astronomer, or at least you like it.
I didn't watch anything. What happened?
So Jupiter and Saturn were in conjunction. I mean, not that it matters to Jupiter and Saturn, but from Earth's point of view, it was quite cool to see. And it was just pretty, man. I mean, it was nice to see.
I'm bummed I missed that because one of the few things I do follow still quite closely and check in on is a few like space and, you know, in hobbies and interests type social media.
Sure.
And I didn't see anything from like NASA or SpaceX or astrophysics.com. Well, I'm not bragging, like try to list off clever things. I could understand if I missed a Cyril Ramaphosa decree.
Sure.
Me missing a cool thing like that is a pity. I feel shit about that.
No,
it was beautiful.
The nice thing about it was that I suppose it was just, you know, one of those occasions where you could see both of the planets. And I saw some amazing pictures, by the way. This is now subsequent to our discussion about it yesterday on the show, where you could very clearly see Saturn's rings, obviously taken through a telescope, because you wouldn't be able to see that through a pair of binoculars, for example. Trust me, I tried. But it was very cool, very, very cool. So you'll probably see some of those on the internet in the next few days as well.
And the Zodiac believers have an excuse for something. I mean, you can miss work or cheat on your partner or punch someone in the dick or have a car in moment at Woolworths.
Mercury retrograde.
Saturn and Jupiter were in conjunction.
Right, so exactly.
If you're an asparagus, especially an asparagus in retrograde, you can basically serial murder and it's fine.
I love those people. They'll tell you the most incredible things and they'll say, no, it's because I'm a Capricorn. You're like, you can't get away
a handful of people I adore and I've got all the time in the world for, but I know they believe in the Zodiac and it's a little piece of me just cannot take you seriously.
Yeah.
And I want to describe them as wonderful people, friends, you know, who I love.
I don't
think they're stupid, but it sits in the back of my mind like, but you believe that? Why? You have to try to believe that shit. And even then it's hard.
They believe it hard though. They believe it seriously. And they use it as an excuse to make or not make a decision. Like some of these people.
Oh, and also it's like your own mistakes, your own lack of care, your own sort of shitness and any bugger ups you make. Oh, there's a reason. So it takes away accountability for your decisions that were actually decisions.
Yeah. And I just think
But also just the faux science. It's so illogical.
It's lazy. It's just lazy. That's what bothers me about it, is that it seems to me to be one of those things that people do when they know that they haven't got any other excuses. So they're like, oh, well, it's the stars. It, you know, Jupiter made me do it. Please.
It's just a way of saying, if you were a dick this month or you're going to be a dick next month, don't worry. It's not really your fault.
I mean, I've always thought, so twins born on the same day, so they have the same zodiac sign and all the rest of it. They're going to have exactly the same day?
I've actually done an experiment with this. I got a friend born on the same day as me. We check in with each other sometimes when we get laid, and there is a surprising correspondence. But I've also had a friend my whole life who was born on the same day as me, like not just the same day calendar-wise, the same actual day of life, year, everything, in the same town, not the same hospital. And this dude could not be any more different than me. But me and my buddy Laundry, who lives in Portugal right now, there's a weird thing that we simultaneous love quite often.
Really?
His name is Laundry.
His name's John, but it's a code name, so no one knows. Yeah.
Laundry.
The Lord of all laundry, in fact.
Wow, that's a hell of a name. Yeah, I'm kind of stuck on that too. That's pretty bizarre. I like it.
There's more important things to talk about than laundry. Go on, Gareth.
Yeah, sure. All right, so here he is. Let's see the man, Brett Cohen. He's just joined us now. How's it, Brett? How are you doing, man?
Morning, all. Very well, and you?
Good. Are you all in the festive season? Morning. Let me see that shirt. I'm trying to.
I am.
That's not your loudest shirt.
Your shirt's like a ballad.
Yeah.
It's festive season. We're relaxed. We're taking it easy. We're going for the Hawaiian Tom Selleck I drive a Ferrari look. What do you think? I need a mustache.
Coldplay of t-shirts, as far as you go, dude.
You're kidding me, mate. I'm not a big Coldplay fan. I prefer to be happy.
What did Coldplay ever do to you, Brett?
I mean, I can't really blame Coldplay, I don't suppose, but, not my favorite band.
Look at the stars, look how they shine for you.
Buddy, you bring it to life.
Coldplay is probably a little bit unfair. It's not that bad, but I'm just saying it's the adult contemporary rock ballad among your collection of thrash metal t-shirts.
Oh. That's beautiful. Yeah, how did you know? I've got a whole collection of sort of cut off, help me looked up t-shirts in the cupboard. One or two wife beaters in there.
I think Gord is insulting. I think he's insulting you. I think that's what's going on here.
I'm just saying it's not your loudest shirt. It's good, but you can do better.
So Brett, listen.
I'll take the criticism.
We've talked about some really interesting stuff over the last little while, and I've thoroughly enjoyed hearing your opinion and everybody else's opinion, because we've got lots and lots of interaction during the course of these discussions. But really, today we get to hear you in your home territory, because alternative energy is something you're passionate about. This is called The Alternative, and every week we've talked about something that's, you know, slightly not in the mainstream, just left of center or right of center, and things that really we should be thinking about. And honestly, energy is such an obvious one, because again, Eskom sent us the nice Christmas message. I don't know if you got it as well, that there might be some load shedding, and this is not going to go away anytime soon. I think we're all well aware of the fact that these guys are in the business of screwing up constantly. And I'm under no illusion that, you know, for the rest of my life and for the rest of our lives, these guys are going to keep screwing up. We need alternative energy sources. One of them is what you provide. But we've got to talk about the impact on the environment and everything else. And energy problems in South Africa are not going to go away in a hurry. So let's talk a little bit about your feelings on the alternatives in terms of energy. And then we'll talk a bit about your actual business, which we haven't done during the course of this discussion so far.
Sure. Where to start? I think let's follow on to what you were saying around Eskom and the problems with Eskom. And it's really not a South African thing. China's at the moment having massive coal shortages all over some of the bigger sort of industrial provinces.
Yeah.
We can't quite work out what the story is over there. They are fighting with Australia. They do get their coal from Australia. And so there's a squabble happening over there. So they're having rolling blackouts. America's had rolling blackouts quite regularly, actually, over the last 20 years or so. It's not purely a South African thing. It's a global thing. The energy crisis is a global thing. I guess the problems, if you think about it, I mean, I've often thought about it when electricity really burst onto the scene and Edison and his mates and all of them were getting together and working out how to monetize it and how to really roll it out properly. There was a big squabble about whether we go with AC power as the main delivery mechanism,
yes, or
DC power as the main mechanism. We ended up with AC, which centralized it.
Didn't that
the problem with AC is that you have to generate it.
Wasn't that because they like rigged it so that someone would be on the other current would be electrocuted really slowly, and so it horrified everyone, and they, you know, it wasn't good for electrocution, but it's good for powering houses, and so they went with the incorrect one.
That's part of the story. Like Edison pulled some dirty tricks there, didn't he?
And Lucky was a dirty fucker.
Or testers, right? It was AC or DC, and one was one guy's and the other was the other guy's.
Correct.
So just tell us about that, because I think a lot of people would be fascinated by it.
Yeah. I'm not wrong. It's
so, more or less. I don't know the full details of the story.
My understanding they were debating who was going to get the license to power the first one of the first cities that were going to get electricity, and it was between Edison's either AC or DC and Tesla's the other one, and Tesla was winning because it's a more practical, better system. But then there was going to be the first, they decided they were going to use the electric chair, I think, for the first time, or using the system for the first time, and so they used the one that was best for city grid to electrocute a person, and it took so long that they eventually had to stop and finish him off another way, and he burnt in front of people. And so the public sentiment against Tesla's electricity system turned really bad, because it's a horrible way to electrocute death sentences. So they used Edison's shittier system because of that propaganda. That's my understanding of the story. Might have some details a bit off, but that's more or less what happened.
I sort of vaguely remember that being about accurate, but what a grisly, what a grisly story.
Guys, why don't we?
It's bizarre.
Why don't we say, go ahead, you guys knock yourselves out, because then they're going to do the electrocution, and their system, which doesn't massively overload the current, will burn the oak, melt him like a candle.
What a horrible thing to do! I mean, can you imagine? This is your strategy.
I mean, I'm not convinced it was necessarily planned out to in full detail like that. I think it might have sort of just played out that way, to be honest with you. But it's messy, and it really was vulgar. Depending on your view on offing people that you don't agree with, I think the death penalty in any form is a tough conversation. But certainly sort of shocking the oak with not enough amperage is fucking ugly.
Imagine
that whole discussion aside, if you get a death sentence, people melting them with not enough electricity for about 4 minutes is nowhere on the list of the best ways to do it.
I
reckon give him a rub drug that takes him to a dark place and just let him off himself. Maybe that's a better way to do it.
You got to sizzle quite fast. You don't want the sizzling to take too long. All right, but get back to the point. Sorry.
His mouth intact enough to scream. Okay, you were talking
about... Someone's got to clean that shit up, mate.
The fact that we're on the AC system, you were saying?
We are on the AC system. So as electrocutions go, we're on the good side of electricity. That sort of battle happened. That battle, what effectively happened at the end of that battle is that we centralized production of electricity. Because with a DC system, you can't run power that far. You certainly couldn't in those days. But with an AC system, it's ideal for that. You generate a hell of a lot of current and a hell of a lot of voltage at your generation plants, and you can run them long, long, long distances and live with whatever power sort of drops you have along the way until it reaches each house. So you ended up with each country or each state in America or each municipality generating its own power and distributing its own power and being responsible for its own power globally. And so you've got, as we've said in the show 100 times, centralization is never the right approach, or very, very rarely the right approach. So you've centralized the power. You've given the distribution of power to some oaks that have their own motivation for what they're trying to do over here. And so if you want something that's not what they're trying to give you, you've got problems. And then, of course, what happens is bureaucracy climbs in. Over time, the thing deteriorates. Time decays everything, and you end up with what we've got here. You end up with aging infrastructure, a whole lot of excuses, and no real plan to get it fixed.
Yeah, and shitty administrations that steal the money instead of...
Outrageous. It's a big problem. But the whole world is looking at alternatives, and there's some beautiful alternatives starting to sort of pop up. We went through, once we realized what we were doing to the planet, really got to the real conscience of people, and people really started embracing, hang on, we've got to make some changes over here. This can't carry on forever. Then we started investigating what are all our options more seriously than we have up to now. And of course, we went first sort of full hog and said, right, let's get away from all this electricity shit. Let's get onto purely renewable stuff. No hydrocarbons, no burning anything, no destroying stuff that was built by the earth billions of years ago. Let's use the sun and tap into its energy. Let's use the wind, and let's use waves, and let's use whatever power sources we can from there. All of those can be converted into electricity fairly inefficiently. But they can be done, and they're, of course, renewable. There's it's not as clear cut as that. You've got to have batteries to store the energy. Batteries are hugely expensive good.
No, I'm just saying that on that point of the batteries being expensive, like it's a thing that I follow just out of excitement and almost kind of optimism for the future and things I'd like to see be ubiquitous before I die. I'd like to see O's go to Mars. I'd like to see all cars be electric, etc. But like these new solar roofs they're doing for Tesla, I watch people who like do a YouTube video of installing it and then a year later testing its efficiencies. They look quite good. I know that there's going to be a shitload of solar panels made of like difficult materials that'll need recycling eventually. And they said that the wind turbines, those things are massive problems when they need to be disposed of. So it seems very exciting to me, but I'm sure there's a realistic kind of back to earth perspective that you can probably provide. Because for me, seeing 90% of houses or living facilities with solar roofs providing 90% of the power in batteries that work is like a dream for me.
Yeah.
How far are we from that really being a thing?
It would be a dream for humanity, right? I mean, Brett, that would be fantastic. That would be first prize.
Would be fantastic, but it's only a step in the right direction. It's not the answer. It's a starting point. Even if you put solar panels over your roofs and put batteries everywhere, you're still going to have power requirements that can't satisfy for a while. Everything's getting more efficient. We're getting closer to a point where things can work. But at this point, you're not going to be sort of generating the power for your car or for your roof. Your swimming pool pumps, they chew power. They're really, really heavy. Now, there are things we can do solar-wise to get there, but there is a hidden cost to solar, and we need to accept that for what it is.
Which is
batteries are very expensive ecologically to manufacture, and they don't last very long.
Yeah.
So you haven't really completely solved the problem, but you're certainly moving in the right direction. And in terms of generating DC power, so all your computer equipment, all your relatively low consumption devices, it's the right solution. You should be generating, we should be standardizing on USB-C as the only port in the house for DC power. It works at 5 volts and usually around 3 amps or 3.5 amps. Your solar power should be pumping into a battery and we should be distributing through the house on DC power through that, and everything should just plug in.
That's interesting. So we should be using USB-C because my laptop uses that now and it's the only device that does. My phone's on a different one. All the plugs are obviously the old standard ones. USB-C. Is that effective?
The world is moving in that direction. Even Apple, who love to fucking bring out their own technologies and standardize on Apple standards for everything, are embracing USB because it's a phenomenal.
That's when they do that. Yes.
Yeah.
It even drives everyone nuts. Charges for different Apple devices.
It's fucking annoying. But once USB-C really becomes a proper standard, which it looks like it might actually do, you're going to be able to plug everything into there. And you can power your laptop off it. You can power your phones off it, and it can reverse. So if you've got a phone, you can sort of power another phone off your phone, blah, blah, blah. It goes in both directions. And of course, it's not just power. It's this beautiful sort of serial adapter. So you can get video out of it and you can get sound out of it. And it really is a big thing. Once USB-C becomes completely standardized, inter-device sort of communication will be a lot more impressive.
I like
that. So if you've got a device less than 2 or 3 years old, just appreciate that little plug, that little useful unsung hero bastard that's going to take...
You know, you're right. You joke, but it is literally going to become the unsung hero of charging / communication between devices. Plugging your phone, you can see where it's going. You're going to have computers in your pocket, which you're eventually going to be able to plug into a docking station. You're going to have your full laptop in front of you. It's been a dream for 100 years, but it's starting to become a reality. It's so ubiquitous now that we don't even market it anymore. It's kind of obvious it's going to happen, yeah? So anyway, we're now talking about something completely different. The point is that if we had USB-C adapters in every plug, in every house, and we were generating electricity as a DC electricity through a solar system straight into a battery. You don't need an inverter to convert it to AC. So your loss of power is minimized. Batteries today can hold charge for a very, very, very long time. You could easily power all your digital and electronic requirements of the house off solar power easily, no problem. It's definitely a part of the mix that we need in terms of energy going forward, and getting ourselves to a world where we're not burning hydrocarbons.
So just tell me, based on that discussion now, I mean, you run a business where you basically providing people with a really quick and easy way to get started in terms of figuring out this alternative energy stuff. Why is gas good? I mean, obviously you're partisan here, but that's precisely why we want your opinion on this, because you've had experience in this respect.
Right. So DC power, like I say, beautiful. If you want to power your TV, you want to power this communication that we're having now, your Wi-Fi point, all of that sort of stuff. Once we need to generate heat, then it's a pretty inefficient mechanism to take heat from the sun, convert it to solar power, put it in a battery, convert it from the battery back into heat, because effectively the only way to do that with electricity, well, there's two ways. There's induction and there's just a...
Yeah, that sounds like marrying your mother-in-law so that you can impress your wife. I mean, it just doesn't sound like a very sensible way to go.
It probably isn't. I mean, there's pretty use cases for it. But generally speaking, it's not the best approach. No, Gord's probably got some input on this. He looks like he needs to add some value. Yeah.
I'm not married and never have been, but I know a thing or two about mothers-in-law.
Yes.
That's my demographic, divorcee.
Is that why you're not married? Good.
I'm like dessert. You save me for after.
Okay, good. All right.
That is the best part.
All right, back to the power issue. If you need to generate heat, it's probably not your best bet anymore. Mainly because heat just needs a lot of krach. It really needs a lot of amps to really make a significant difference. In terms of dishwashers, in terms of washing machines, and of course, in terms of heating water so that you can shower, and space, what we call space heating. So heating your ambient environment that you're sitting in so that you can be warm in winter. Comfortable in a shopping center, comfortable in a hotel if you want to go visit. The hotel can't very well say to you, there's some cloths, we're not warming you up because we're looking after the universe.
And let's not forget cooling also, fans, air conditioners and cooling.
100%.
We don't always need to warm things up, guys, but we often need to 100%. Cool things up.
Right.
100%. Absolutely right. So there, your renewable energy sources are not providing what we need yet. And that's why we haven't managed to get off hydrocarbons completely yet. And so even if you were to get yourself completely off the grid, you're going to need to supplement your renewable energies with something that can give you that oomph. And there's a whole lot of options. And there's some very exciting technologies coming up.
Yeah.
China's doing very, very interesting work on nuclear fission, which, of course, is a nuclear reactor where you squeeze hydrogen atoms so hard that they become helium atoms and at the same time give off a whole lot of energy. They've never gotten it right. Nobody's ever gotten it right, but it looks like we're getting there. It looks like there is progress being made along those lines.
Yeah, also. It's a war of attrition, the fission vision. And so the Germans, the British, the Chinese, they've been at it for like 20 years. But now it still takes more power. The thing works, but it takes more power to get it working than it produces. But the theory, the prototype, works.
Well, I've got the concept going.
Seconds even.
Yeah, the problem is you can't contain that energy. And so the energy required to contain the energy is more than the energy that's produced by the energy. So it's a bit of a mess from that perspective. But they'll find it eventually. There's going to be a trick somewhere along the line over there, and it'll lead them down a new rabbit hole, and they'll start making some progress. And it looks like we're starting to get in that direction.
Well, I've got a few questions here from some people who are listening. Vincent says magnets may hold the future for energy as well. Magnets are amazing. There must be a way to generate energy with magnets. Discuss for 20 marks. Go ahead, Brett.
Well, we do. That's exactly how we generate electricity. Boil water. Water gives off steam. Steam creates wind. Wind drives a turbine. The turbine's got batteries in it, and the batteries rotate, creating an electromotive force. And that's how AC power is generated. So spot on. Absolutely right. Magnets are the trick. The problem with the magnets – sorry?
You're saying you kind of can't have electricity without them, really?
Yeah, well, certainly not AC power. I mean, that's the definition of AC power, is swapping the south and the north, and the south and the north gives you the alternating current that you get. So in a really sort of simple sense. Even wind turbines, exactly the same thing. It's effectively a car alternator with a fan on the end, and the wind's driving the alternator to generate electricity, which is also the same concept. You have batteries sort of... poles irritating each other, generating an electromotive force.
And then the other question that somebody has is, and this is actually from Ruth, who was asking questions about drugs earlier, so she's definitely very versatile. She says, did you guys see the new tire coming out of China? It's like a bouncy support tire with no air or punctures. That sounds very interesting. But she says she loves gas, especially for cooking, because it is best for meals, and she's only ever used gas on holiday, and it's fantastic. So, I mean, this is where it really comes into its own. So you mentioned heating and cooling, but yeah. heating in particular is something that you can do with gas, which is a lot cheaper and a lot more effective. Tell us about some of the technologies that are being developed there, apart from the obvious that, you know, propane and butane and a mixture of the two burns and provides you with heat.
So in terms of gas, there's a lot going on, a hell of a lot going on. The beauty with that, or the strength of gas has over some of the other hydrocarbons. If we sort of put this thing on a whole continuum, you have on one edge, you have coal, which is truly the fucking enemy of the earth. And on the other edge, you have probably some form of fission where there's no byproduct and you're generating this electricity virtually for free because there's no shortage of atoms in the universe. And in between that, there's this whole spectrum that needs to be considered. And on the spectrum, we can draw points where we can say, right now, this is renewable. We're no longer burning hydrocarbons. This is beyond renewables. We don't have to generate anything to generate the electricity, or we only have to generate it once every 20 years, and then it can make electricity for free for the next 20 years, whatever the case is. And we can move along this path. On the hydrocarbon path, like I've alluded to, coal is probably the biggest enemy, especially shitty coal, which is what gets used a lot for generating electricity because it's just cheap and available and there's just tons of it in the earth. Right. So we just burn that shit. And that sort of gives
coal and oil. We hate them both.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't know if burning oil to make electricity is not a great solution. And then as what you move up the sort of the continuum, you get to better and better hydrocarbons along the way. Petrol has a relatively good use in cars. Diesel with a turbocharger has become quite useful in cars, especially if you put in a catalytic converter in the exhaust, because you can remove a lot of the junk. Gas has a higher calorific value than either of those gas. Gas, you're starting to top off the best that hydrocarbons can give you. It's very, very, very energy efficient in terms of what you get out when you burn it. It's portable and easy to store. It's relatively easy to produce. In other words, the costs of getting the stuff out of the earth or converting some other, say, a liquid to gas is relatively small. And it burns very, very efficiently, especially on a small sort of distributed model. So you take a bottle of gas and you put it in your house, and you can have hot water, or you can have a hot room, or you can cook on it for a very long time. So that's where sort of gas is on the continuum of renewable energies energies.
You walk the talk in this respect? Like is your whole house gas?
100%. The whole house runs off gas. I've got a gas jenny. When Eskom does switch off the power, the gas jenny kicks in, and I can use the whole house like normal, running off gas.
Wow, that's
jenny. That's I like fun. That.
Yeah. Generator.
Yeah. My philosophy in life is very much don't depend on state for anything.
Yeah.
Very much.
Like I think
I'm not mad about centralized power.
No, but that is the only sensible, responsible place to be. So if you're on gas, I mean, obviously the benefits are like my brother's got a gas stove. So when, when the power goes off, even if it's for an hour or two, he can still make coffee. He can still cook his food. Are there still some limitations to gas though? Are there still some things that you guys can't do that you're working on?
So there's details that could be better. Things like cooking with gas is awesome. You can see what you're doing, first of all, and it's instantaneous. And those two things from a cooking perspective are very valuable. Baking with gas is a different story. It's effectively a fucking furnace. I mean, there's just a whole lot of heat coming out of the thing and very little control over it.
I'm about sticking things in the oven. I'm one of those preheat, set a timer, go do something else guys.
And 100%.
You know the right shit to rub on something and then you just stick it in there. It comes out amazing. So That's kind of a, you're saying that's an incinerator, right? Cremations and stuff.
That thing is basically, yeah, that's pretty much, I mean, you know, don't make hash in that oven. It's not going to come out nice. But they're working on it. They're making massive progress in terms of, because again, you know, you must also remember that what we tend to do is we tend to go, this is a shit solution. Let's go for a different solution. And then nobody looks at a hybrid. And, you know, the music's usually between the notes. Electricity can complement gas very well, and gas can complement electricity very well. And all the others, you know, the renewable energy sources Absolutely. Can be backed up by non-renewable energy sources very well. I think that ultimately our objective is to get to a point where we are having zero impact on the Earth. But there's a long sort of time frame to get us there. And we need to look at it realistically.
And while we're talking about the Earth, I mean, because there are a lot of people who are suddenly very worried about the planet, and rightly so. Right. I mean, we've been treating it like a rubbish dump for the longest time.
Right.
But gas is better because your byproducts are not so dangerous, right?
100%. So it's in terms of non-renewable, absolutely, it comes out of the Earth. We have to. There's a limited supply of it.
Sure.
But in terms of byproducts and greenhouse gases and CO2 emissions, it's probably the best of the hydrocarbon energy sources, certainly of the relatively easily available energy sources.
All right, so since this is the first time we've actually spoken about your business, just give us all the details, because it is the festive season. Maybe people are looking at changing up things, and maybe they want to give a gift of something. Like you've got all the appliances in your shop. I've been there. I was a customer before you started doing this feature with us. And they run a really sharp operation. I don't know how you guys keep as much gas on the premises as you do, because that must make you nervous every single night when you go to sleep. But I mean, it's just unbelievable. You've got really smart people there who can advise you on everything. Go in, try it out. Even if you just start off with some, you know, some small appliance and you want to try cooking on it, you can go and check out the gas company. They're in Centurion and they're really, really sharp.
Cheers. Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. We take training quite seriously. That's, you know, again, like the show, a lot of people are unaware of gas's capacity and capabilities.
Sure.
And so it's on us to get the guys educated and understand what the options are and how the thing works. So we take that quite seriously.
Well, as you should. I mean, you know, it's like anything when you're dealing with power, and that's essentially what gas is, then you need to be on top of your game. Otherwise you could cause yourself some serious damage, and like anything else, it's dangerous because it contains all of that explosive capability, all of that ability to generate energy.
Correct. Absolutely right. I always like to point out, though, that the number of people that die from electricity are substantially higher than gas. Gas is a reasonably safe energy source. A lot of the things you believe about gas from scare tactics are not true. Gas bottles can't explode. They can't swallow up their own flames.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not even a contest.
Yeah. No, it isn't. In electricity, literally, you have an extension plug that gets wet. It doesn't make a sound. It just bites you. Gas, you can smell it from a mile away. While there are, of course, there's cases where bad things have happened as a result of human stupidity and gas, they're much smaller numbers globally than they are around electricity, because electricity is a silent killer.
Well, listen, man, happy holidays and happy holidays.
And to you, is this your last show?
This is our last show for the year. And I'm glad.
Beautiful. Look at Sia. He's like, I'm ready to sing.
I know. I'm glad you were on it. So Sia's going to, we're going to play out with his favorite Christmas song, and probably Gordon, my least favorite Christmas song. But happy holidays, everybody. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that stuff. And we will catch you, I think, on the 4th of January. We'll be back. And Brent,
everyone. It still sucks that we do it so early in the morning, and I still don't accept it. But it's been a cool thing every week during lockdown to talk shit with you guys. Feels like it's been fun. This whole online thing, it's been good.
Yeah, no,
thanks,
it's awesome.
Friends.
Thanks, everybody. And thank you for helping. I mean, listen, we've all helped each other, but I really feel like this show every morning has been something that's kept me more sane than most during lockdown. And I think if it's provided any relief to you from the craziness of this year, then we will meet you next year to do it all again. And have an excellent holiday. And be good. We're going to leave you with something which I can't stand this song, but Sia just loves it. So here it is, especially for him. It's Mariah.
Happy Kwanzaa, Karen. Friends.
Happy Kwanzaa, yeah. All that stuff. All right, here she is.
Chill, everybody. cliffcentral.com.